say thanks for that. That's one of the parts of being with the church that I most look forward to, is just hearing that stuff. You know, what's going on? How God is showing himself in a very strange way, but a way that only God would do. And just all the other things. And so, I guess what I want to say is, know that that's the kind of church this is going to be. That's the kind of church we're going to be. Okay? Where you come, and we really, we're going to connect together, all of us. And so
it's not like a set time. Like, we don't have family time for 5 minutes. That's it. At any point in the morning, if you decide, hey, you know, I didn't at this point share something that I wanted to, but I want to now, feel free, just jump in and do so.
The last day or so, I've been, I mean, all week long, and really through just life, thinking about what are the things that I, as a pastor journey, playing just the particular role that I do, what are some of the things that I would get to share with you? And I try to bring to you some things that I see God saying through his word and saying, all right, chew on this. Let's see how God wants to work this in your life. And so, but in the course of just the last day, I had about 3 pages of stuff, so you'll be happy since it's going to be hot in here today. You'll be happy that God's going to let's do something different. I really sense that. I was reading some of the passages. In fact, I'll show them to you here in a little bit. And as I'm reading through it, just sensing maybe a little different direction, all still related to the work of the Spirit of God in our lives, but something a little different. And it's interesting because this week I saw a video piece that really kind of grabbed my heart in it. And it tells the story, in many ways, that we've talked about the last handful of weeks. This story that God is telling in the Bible, that I'll refer to it, or I'll borrow the phrase another has used, called this a sacred romance. It's this sacred romance, this pursuit of God, God chasing after us and chasing after the one he loves most dearly. And this this video thing is it tells a little bit of that story, and it shows how God intends so much more for us than what we often find ourselves wrapped up in, or caught up in, or experiencing. And I want you to watch this piece, and I want you to think about how, you know, we've talked in the past even about the idols of our life and how God wants to remove those things. So that we can have this relationship, this experience, and I don't know, discover all that God intends and has for us. And maybe it just really speaks of our need for Christ himself and all that God has done to restore our relationship with him. So I just want you to see this, and I want you to respond to it. And I have a couple things from the Bible that I want to share with you, and we'll see where it goes. So, I know PJ back here is kind of playing all kinds of roles here today, doing the cameraman. All right, let's watch this video.
I'm not afraid to die.
I wasn't really good there, but how does that story speak to you? Anyway.
Life is hard, but he's always there.
Okay.
It's a struggle sometimes.
Yep. Okay. Alright. What kinds of struggles? I'm sorry, but he's there. He wants to deliver you from it. What else? Anything else? How maybe personally does that speak to you? Does it? Anyway. So what, you know, what might those things be in your life? What might they be in your life? And how do you need Christ to deliver you, to restore you? Let's look at something. The book of John, chapter 16. And anybody need a journey Bible? Anybody need a Bible? Chapter 16, it'll be page 1410. Thank you. Junior Bible. Now, you can follow along there. I have a little different translation of it, but you can also see it on the screen if you'd like. I want you to listen to something Jesus says here. Actually, let me read to you first. Chapter 15, verse 26, he says, I will send you. In my translation, it says the advocate, but it might say in yours the comforter or the counselor. There are all these different names. We're going to talk about those in a second, okay? He says, I will send him to you the Spirit of truth, and he will come to you from the Father and will testify about me. Now, look at chapter 16, verse... Oh, you have a book on me. All right, chapter 16, starting in verse 8. He says, when this one comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. Verse 11, judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. Just stop there for a second. There are a few things, in fact, this word that Jesus uses in chapter 15, verse 26, it's it's paraclete, basically that's how we would say it in English, but it's a Greek word, and the deal is this, it's one of those words in the Greek language as it's written that there, you can't just use one English word to understand it, okay? It takes a few. English is very limited oftentimes that way. And so the word might be comforter, it might be encourager, it might be a counselor. And it means all of those things, but we have to use those three English words to capture it. Well, I want to talk about those for a minute. It's interesting. Those are descriptive terms for us of what the Spirit of God does in our lives. Those are three of the things He does. But even in this passage here, as Jesus is talking, He's talking about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And one of the first things He talks about is this conviction, being convicted, recognizing sin in our lives. Recognizing what it is. It's one of the first things that the Spirit of God does in a person's life. And it's easy for us to want to ignore that or suppress that or push it away, but we can't. It's what Jesus says is the role of, one of the roles of the Spirit. And so maybe today, there's even for you, and even as you watch this thing, you go, man, there are things in my life that I know are a distraction to me. They're not only a distraction, they're just standing, flat out standing in the way of this thing that God wants for me, of this beautiful, and we see the picture of it, you kind of saw it there depicted. From the very beginning, God, He desires this relationship with us where there's just endless joy and peace and all the good things of God. And then all this other stuff comes along. And so maybe today, it's just a matter of the Spirit's work and the Spirit's role in your life, job in your life right now is pointing out some of these things to you. And here would be a prayer I would say to you to pray. Lord, reveal to me any areas of unrecognized, unconfessed sin in my life. And just point it out to me. Convict me of it. As I have, and I've been saying for several weeks that we're just at a new point in the life of journey. And where we're going, where I sense is this, God is saying, I'm going to teach you as a church, I'm going to show you as a church what it really, truly means to be, to allow my Spirit to live and move in you. Not that we haven't to this point, but there's so much more. Remember, so much more that God desires for us.
Yeah, you got it.
And that's, man, you got to keep coming back each week because it's good to just hear somebody going, yeah, man, come preach it or whatever. You can say whatever you want. No, that's the deal. And here's what's going on. As I'm saying, Lord, I really, as ashamed as I am to say this, as a pastor of a church, as one who's been formally trained in theological education, I feel like, honestly, I know very little, I think, of what that means. And most of the people I talk to that are in positions like mine, they're struggling with the same thing, saying, I know God desires so much more. This can't be it. And one of the first things that God began saying to me was, Chad, if you want the things of the kingdom, of my kingdom, in the midst of your church and all through this community and in your life, then you know what? It's got to start right in your own heart. That is where the kingdom of God begins. It starts inwardly. And I just kept hearing God saying, Chad, those are all great things. I want all those things for you and this church, for this church that you're a part of. But first, there's this stuff. And you've got to be at work at it in your own life. We all say, we want so many good things. We want to see God do this. We want to see God reach these people, et cetera, et cetera. And God says, yeah, I do. But first, my kingdom is going to start right deep within the deepest recesses of who you are. And my my light is going to penetrate there first, and then the kingdom grows outward from there. The kingdom grows from our hearts outward. And so this is the first thing. God's been speaking to me about this in my life. So, conviction. Conviction is one of them. But look at what Jesus says in verse 12. He says, of chapter 16, he says, there is so much more that I want to tell you. There is so much I want you to grasp. I want you to experience. There's so much more. But you couldn't even take it right now. You couldn't bear it. And I believe that Jesus would say the same thing today. He would say, there is so much I want for you, and I want for my church, the bride, the love of my life of all eternity. But I can tell you, you couldn't even bear it right now. There's so much I want for you. But first, the Spirit of God is going to do this work, speaking into our hearts, saying, these are the things that I want to clean up in your life first. They desire so much more for you in this area. So what might that be? And you need to work with the Spirit of God on that this week. Okay. Now, another thing. Well, I'll tell you what, while we're on that, I want you to make sure that you get this. Look at Romans chapter 8. I think this is based on those things, that work of God pointing out, the Spirit of God pointing out those things to us in our life. I think here's where the comfort and the encouragement come. Listen to this stuff. This is awesome. This is Paul, who's writing to a group of Jesus followers in the city of Rome, and he says this to them. And follow on. I'm reading again from a little different translation, which you can track. He says, there is no condemnation for someone, for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit, the Holy Spirit, again, this is what he's talking about, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. There is freedom. And the Spirit brings us that hope that, you know what, you do not have to live like a slave to this stuff. God wants to free you from it. God wants to do something new. God wants to bring light and freedom and joy and peace into all those areas of life. Now, jump down to verse 5. He said that people who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature, or your flesh is a better translation, control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control you leads to life and peace. Look at verse 9. You're not controlled by those things anymore. You're controlled by the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. Verse 10 of Romans chapter 8. And Christ lives within you. Christ lives within you. Verse 11. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, he lives in you. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Verse 12. No, I'm sorry, verse 15. No, verse 12. There we go. Brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what the flesh urges you to do, what your sinful nature does. For if you live by it, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received, verse 15, you have not received the Spirit that makes you fearful slaves anymore. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. It was an expression, like the dearest of expressions, Daddy, Daddy. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are his children. Since we are his children, we are his heirs. And you can be down. But do you catch that? The work of the Spirit pointing out those things in our life. God says, I want the kingdom to start right here. But then you know what? What Paul is basically saying is that you can be sure that the Spirit of God is not going to be condemning you. Oh, you're terrible, you're horrible, you're no good. No, the Spirit of God just convicts you, points cleans out those things in your life that need to be cleaned away. And then we have this hope that God, the Spirit of God, will do the work to begin to free your life of that stuff. And begin to give you a better way to live, a better experience of God. And if these are the things that you are sensing in your life, then I say, you know, that's the work of the Spirit. If you're sensing this, man, I know there are these things, God's pointing that out to you. Now, if you're hearing a voice going, oh, you're terrible, you're miserable, you know, all those things we talked about before, that's not the Spirit of God. Ignore that. What does Paul say? There is no condemnation for a person who lives in Christ, who is controlled by the Spirit. The Spirit of God has freed you. You can know that I can now choose to start living that way. And I have this hope. Talk about the Spirit of God encouraging you or comforting you when you go, I don't even know what to pray. I don't even know what to say. Listen to what it says. Verse 26. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, when we don't know what God wants us to pray for, the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that can't be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. You may go, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to pray for. You know what? Be comforted. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit will speak on your behalf and will begin to help you to do that, help you in conversation with God. Be encouraged when you sense that the Spirit of God is saying to you, you know what? You belong to God. You belong to Christ. But maybe if you just have no sense of some of that stuff, then you need to start asking, am I open to the work of the Spirit in my life? God wants to point out to you all the ways that, or all the things in your life that are keeping you from Him and keeping you from experiencing what He created you for. Okay? And as you open yourself up to that, then you'll begin to experience God by His Spirit saying to you, you are mine. You belong to me. You're not condemned. You can start living in freedom and start experiencing and start realizing and discovering all the things that I want to be for you. And then even when you reach those points, the third thing, when you reach those points in life where you go, God, where are you? I don't know what to pray. He says the Holy Spirit is still at work in all of those things. The Spirit will be praying for you, will be asking that my will continue to unfold in your life. I don't know, for some reason, and maybe you are the reason, I don't know, but that was the piece that God kind of pressed on my heart, saying, here's something that my Spirit does. Something that journey, something that you, Chad, need to be more open to and experience more of. That's what I want for you. I'm just going to leave that with you today. Let me pray for you, and we can do a couple songs. Finish with it. And maybe there's a different one. I don't know. Maybe there's another song that you have on your mind, but let me pray for you. Lord, you know that my desire, and I hope our desire, is to experience the work of your Spirit, God, to know you in a very real, in a very powerful way. Not just when we do this church thing and when we meet together, but God, in an everyday sort of way, wherever it is that you would want to show yourself powerful and more real to us. Lord, we sometimes just grope around in the darkness and in the confusion of life amidst these different distractions, and you don't want us to have to experience that. You desire so much more for us. I pray that we'd be open to your Spirit speaking into our lives this week, maybe convicting us of sin. I know, Lord, as I have desired this more, that's how you've spoken to me. You said, Chad, I want to do, there's more work I want to do in your own heart. And then, Lord, we know your kingdom will grow from there. So help us to be open to that. Maybe this week we need your spirit to be a comforter. Let me know that you are even praying for us when we don't know how to. Maybe an encourager, reminding us and letting us know that we truly are your children. And that you have begun something that is great and you want to continue to show it to us. Oh, Lord. Just speak to us. Help us. In the name of Jesus. Who loved us enough to die for us. And who has given us your spirit. Amen. Hey, I want you this week to be my encouragement to you. Connect with a house church. We have house churches that meet. Get with a group of people. Here's one question, by the way, for you house church leaders. Think of this. Here's the question. How would we know that we are a spirit-empowered church? What would it look like? How would we know? Maybe even based on some things we talked about today. How would we know that God's spirit is really moving in our church? Okay? And then, secondly, what ministry of the Holy Spirit do you need in your life? Get together, maybe just share those things, but ask God for that before you even get to that ministry. Let's see what God will say to us this week.